This is PhotoBizX episode number 199, and today's special guest is me. Something totally different today. Paul Pennell, a good mate of mine and premium member, is going to be interviewing me for this Christmas New Year's edition of the podcast. And that interview's coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host,
Paul Pennell.
You're not. Where's the video bit?
Oh, this is the great start.
Oh, my God. Hang on. View. Nah.
If you go over your Skype screen, there's a little camera, little blue circle down at the bottom.
Ah, yeah, there it is. Your video's turned off. It's on.
Let's have a think about it. Have you got a good internet connection?
Yeah, it's not bad. That's interesting.
I've got a spinning circle.
Yeah, no.
Have you got a camera on your computer?
Yeah, I do. Oh, hang on a minute. Maybe it's not turned on in preferences. Oh, that's you.
Man, do I sound like this when I start my interviews?
Do I do the intro now?
Do you want to introduce the whole thing and go from there?
Yeah, so... Oh, my God.
Okay. Okay, well, if you really want to do everything, then it's episode 199.
Okay.
You take it away, mate. And
are you recording?
Yeah.
Are you recording now?
Well, I'm recording right now.
Fuck. All right. Oh, oh, oh! Dashing through the snow. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very Christmas extravaganza episode of PhotoBiz Exposed podcast.
Oh, I'm so glad this isn't my usual show.
Hey, well, it's just, mate, you can't start talking. I haven't introduced you. Hi, my name's Paul, and I'm going to be your host for today. And you all know my guest, and he needs no introduction, as you all know him and listen to him every week. Well, I hope you do. Hang on, I've got to catch up on my words. It's no other than the larger than life, Mr. Andrew Helmich.
Did you have to check your notes for my name?
I did. How bizarre is that? Oh, dear. All right, so are you ready for this? I know you're very excited to be interviewed by me.
Yeah, mate, I am. And just before we do kick off or you take the show into your own hands, I just want to let you know and the listener know that I'm looking to get some premium content out of this recording as well because I don't want to double up over Christmas. So the whole idea is for you to get some good content for the free podcast listeners and also some extra special juicy stuff for the premium members. So I'm going to leave that up to you.
Oh, great. Thanks, mate. Well, I've got a lot of questions. I sent some messages out onto the Facebook group. Should we just get right into it?
Sure.
All right. So what everybody wants to know, which is probably one of the most important questions going to be here, is how tall are you?
See, because this is only audio, I can say whatever I like here.
You can. But listen, I've met you and I've got to say your profile picture looks a lot taller than you actually are.
Get out. I like to say I'm 5'6".
Yeah.
But I think it's closer to 5'5.5".
Nice. I like it. Excellent. 5'5.5".
I think it's about 168 centimetres.
Yeah, nice. I think I'm about that.
My nickname in the cycling club is Stumpy, if that helps.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Because of height, I hope.
Well, it could be. It could be.
All right. I've got a question from Alinda. She hasn't left her last name, so I'm not sure who she is. But she says, can you ask Andrew if he knows where the washing machine is?
I do know where it is, but I don't know how to work it.
You don't know how to work a washing machine. Are you serious?
Well, I didn't say that. I don't know how to use our washing machine.
Yeah. I wonder which Linda it was. All right. But listen, I'm going to go into some serious questions now, okay? So no laughing or joking. All right? This is dead serious stuff. I've got those bits out of the way, which are laughable, I think. All right. So I've got a question from Luke Gerson from the Facebook group.
You're going to tell me who actually asked the questions as well. That's yeah, good. Okay. That is great. Okay. So these people are going to be accountable. I know, Luke.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Yeah. So he wants to know your favorite type of wedding or couple, and are there any red flags to make you not want to take an inquiry?
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Favorite couples or anyone that likes my photography, you know, if someone loves what I do, they like my work and they're excited about the day and they're excited about, you know, talking to me about their day, then I think, yeah, we're going to be a good fit. Whether or not it's a church wedding, a chapel wedding or an outdoor wedding, that's all fine with me. It's more about the couple than the style or the type of wedding. I don't like doing beach weddings, but I don't tell clients that. I'll still photograph on the beach if they're getting married there, but I really don't like shooting beach weddings, like the actual ceremony on the beach.
Why is that? Is it because of the
sand? I hate the sand. Like the sand and the gear, it's just a nightmare. And then it's usually squinting eyes. And I tell my clients, you know, it's never as romantic as what they see on TV and in the movies. It's usually windy. There's usually idiots in the background that want to see what's going on. It's never dead smooth out there. There's usually lots of wave, lots of noise. People don't hear what's going on. They end up cracking a beer at the back of the ceremony and starting the chat or lighting up a smoke. And yeah, it's just not like what you see on TV.
So have you had couples that have changed their minds after talking to you?
No, I've never had, or changed their minds about where they're going to have the ceremony. Yes, I've had people move their ceremony from the sands up onto the grass away from the sand, but still near the beach and have that same feeling. I think that's a great idea personally.
Yeah, right. That's interesting. Yeah, because obviously down here we get lots of beach weddings and I guess you do there.
Yeah, I don't do that many on the actual beach. I have a lot of couples that want to go to the beach for photos after the ceremony, but there's not that many that actually have their ceremony on the sand.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So red flags? Any red flags?
I've said no to a couple of weddings. One wasn't that well, it was probably a couple of years ago now, but it was after the engagement session. This particular bride or bride-to-be was a nightmare. I mean, I was trying to do the engagement shoot the way I pictured the images should be, and she wanted to direct everything. And I came away from that. I just couldn't get anything that I wanted to do. It was all about her, which is fine if that's the photographer that she wants to have, but that wasn't me. I called her up after the engagement shoot and said, look, I just don't think I'm the right photographer for you. And I gave her some suggestions for other photographers, but yeah, she wasn't really impressed with that. But
what did she say? Did she say anything?
Well, once she knew that I didn't want to photograph her wedding, she wanted me more than ever. It was like a challenge for her to have me photograph her wedding. And I actually photographed her brother's wedding a couple of years before. But I just knew from that engagement shoot it was going to be a total nightmare. And, yeah, it was red flags all the way.
Yeah, okay. So, but you just basically said, I'm just not the photographer for you.
Yeah.
Did they question it? Did they ask why or?
Yeah, well, I said, the way you want to direct every photo isn't the way that I work. You know, I've got my own ideas. I can see what I want to shoot and you're seeing something totally different. So, you know, our styles aren't going to match up. If they didn't match up on the engagement shoot, I can't see them matching up on the wedding day. I think you're going to be happier at the end of the day if you pick a photographer that you can direct or that shoots the way you want them to shoot, you know. But no one likes being rejected, you know, in any form. And that's how I think how she was taking it. But at the end of the day, look, she was fine. I never heard from her again. So I'm assuming she got great photos. She was a gorgeous girl and I would have loved to photograph the wedding if I could have photographed it the way I wanted to, but it wasn't going to work.
Yeah, I've just had a recent wedding very similar where one of the bridesmaids took over what I wanted to photograph, which is, yeah, it's a little bit annoying, but that was on the day. I couldn't even turn around and say, I don't want to do this wedding anymore.
That's a bit late.
Do you reckon? I reckon I could give it a good go.
I'm just going to bring my mate. He's another photographer. I might get him to take over.
He loves photographing on the beach. Okay, so that was from Luke Gerson. I hope I said his name right. Thanks, Luke. You get a free magazine of Photo Quiz X. Oh, no, you don't do magazines, do you? Oh, you download. What's that thing you got at the moment where you download something on your website?
The ebook?
The ebook. Luke, you can download the ebook for free. Thanks for your question, mate. Okay, so moving on to Karen. How long does this go for, Andrew?
Well, it might be a double episode the way you're going.
Oh, my God, it could be excellent. We could get to 200. Oh, I forgot to say it's 199, episode 199.
That's where the show notes will be, won't they? photobizx.com/199. And you can see some examples of my work and links to anything and everything that I mentioned.
All right, mate, this is not your show.
Oh, sorry.
This is all right. So the next question is from Karen Alsop, which I think she's fishing for her own like here, I think. She wants to know, who is your favorite interview, someone you interviewed? But I'm not going to say favorite. I want you to give me one or two, just so you don't sort of single anybody out. Who in 199 episodes has been some of your favorites?
Wow, that's a tough one. I really enjoyed talking to Fervoristi when I talked to him. And I think more so, not because he's so well known, but because of the way he changed his pricing and he reduced his prices to keep attracting the clients that he wanted to photograph. That was really cool to hear someone positioned as high as him in the industry doing something like that. I enjoyed that. And just with his accent and everything else, it was fun talking to him. Who else? I have to bring up a list. I mean, I've done so many interviews now and yeah, look, I've enjoyed so many. I'm just flicking through a quick list here. I always refer back to Gabriel Mortieri, the SEO specialist. And I think because of the content that he shared was so different to what I've heard from so many other people in regard to SEO, that one really resonated with me.
Who's the English dude, Fuji X photographer?
There's a couple. Ian Weldon, definitely.
Ian Weldon, yeah, that was good.
So whose show is this one or who's doing the interview? I got to say Kristen Kaup as well, definitely. Look, there's so many. There really is. I look through my list. I'm scrolling through it now, and I remember every single one, you know, like it was just last week's episode. So, yeah, too many to list.
Yes, exactly. All right, thank you, Karen.
Oh, did I say Karen Alsop as well?
No.
Absolutely one of my favorites.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. I had to listen to that one again because when she posted this question – Okay, Mike Riley. Hang on, before we go on.
Hang on, it's cynical Mike Riley.
Oh, is it? I just want to say, have you noticed that I haven't got any of my own questions?
You've done no work.
Okay, no homework.
Just for the listener, they have to know that 20 minutes before we started recording this, I got a message from Paul saying, is it this Tuesday or next Tuesday? And I said, this Tuesday, mate, today. And then the follow-up message is, what time was it again? It's like, in 10 minutes, mate. Are you going to be ready? Hopeless.
I was mowing the lawn. So bad.
You've done absolutely no preparation, have you?
None. I've got numbers written on the page here.
Right, bring it on, mate. What's next?
Mike Riley. Does the PBX podcasts affect the Impact Images business in any way?
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. So in the beginning, it didn't take too much. I mean, look, it's always taken a full day a week from the beginning, I guess, a full day. But I could manage that because I was doing it on a Sunday, so it wouldn't eat into the Impact Images business. I couldn't sustain that, so I moved the podcast to Monday. So long-time listeners would be aware of that. So Monday is totally penciled out now. I don't schedule anything else on Monday. No one's allowed to schedule any shoots, anything else on Monday. And now, to be honest, it's taking up a lot more time. So there's definitely two full days and getting close to three full days I'm spending on PhotoBizX. But it hasn't affected Impact Images too much because I've got associate shooters. I've got Linda and Tennille in the office as well. So I do the shoots that I have to do and I work them around the interviews and the answering emails and things like that. And I've also got, now I have two other helpers working with me, overseas workers. One, Doy, has been with me since the start. And just taking on a second overseas worker to help with the editing. So, yeah, I'm trying to share it around as much as I can so I can keep the Impact Images business going as well as what it has been.
So why is it taking longer then? Why has it gone from sort of one day to 3 days? Because of the editing and...
Well, I started the second podcast, the Photography Experiment podcast. So that was one reason. The other reason is, I guess there's more work I'm putting into the actual site now. There's more members, so I'm answering a lot more emails. Yeah, there just seems to be a lot of things to do for the podcast. So,
All right. So this takes me to another question then from Walter Sheehy. So have you had any clients not in the photography industry that have listened to the podcasts after they've searched you, your business or your name?
No. I actually saw Walter post this inside the members Facebook group and that has never happened. No one has ever, not as far as I know, Googled my name to find out that I'm a podcast host as well as a photographer, which is surprising. But I guess it shows me that clients care little about, I guess, who we really are, and they just care more about the photography side of things.
Yeah. And Warren Burke asks, have you got a bird? No, he didn't ask that. Have you got a bird in the back?
Yeah, my window faces my front garden.
Oh, right.
And the window's open, yeah, so you'll hear plenty of birds.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I thought that was Linda in the background going, oi, oi.
Don't say that.
What's over here? One piece of advice you have implemented from the podcasts that has the biggest effect on your business.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this is a tough one. I don't know if it's going to be show more of my personality, if it's, you know, run Facebook ads because I can see a direct result from that, if it's work on my SEO, redo my website. One piece of advice. Wow.
The website was a big one though, wasn't it?
Look, it was huge. That was a massive thing to redo the website and at the same time working on SEO. I try and implement as many of the things that I hear on the show, to test them myself and to put them into practice so I can come back and talk about them. So, look, you know, if it was just one thing and one strategy, it'd have to be the Facebook ads from Bernie Griffiths, because that's the one thing you can do after you hear the episode, put it into action and get bookings, you know, the next week, and then book weddings from those engagement shoots or generate portrait shoots. You know, that was an amazing episode and I think that still stands as one of the standouts. But, you know, there's so much advice from other interviews that I've implemented along the way as well. You know, things like SEO, that using the videos from Gabriel Mortuere, you know, going out and filming on my iPhone, different locations around where I live, uploading them to YouTube. And, you know, I've booked, I think, 3, maybe 4 weddings now from those videos, usually from overseas people that are coming to Terrigal to get married. They see me and my personality and me talking to camera and they book pretty much without even coming in for a consult and doing things over the phone or with email with Linda. So.
And that's the recording ones. Is that the video ones?
Yeah, look, they're really basic. They're almost embarrassing. But I said to myself after I interviewed Gabrielle, I've just got to go out and do this and try this stuff that people are telling me to do and telling other listeners to do on the show. So I went out one afternoon with my son, Jordan, and I just talked straight to camera. He held the iPhone and I talked about a few popular spots all in one little area down at Terrigal. And I rank on page one of Google for all those videos. If you Google that local area, so Terrigal Haven weddings or something like that, I'll come up in the search results on the first page. And they're so basic. They are unscripted, unrehearsed, just me talking to camera. Very, very basic, almost embarrassing, but they've booked me weddings. So, you know, that's, it's hard to say, you know, the Facebook ads outperform those. And this is crazy. And this is one of the things that I guess really sticks with me. But if I kept doing these videos and I do more of them, I know that I'll book more weddings. But it's just finding the time to do all these different things that I hear about. And it's the same for the listener. You know, we're all hearing these different things every week and it's just a matter of implementing them. But what I was going to say, Paul, is I think the biggest lesson that I've learned from doing this podcast is that you have to work to be successful. Like, it's not just going to happen by accident. If you don't put in the work, if you don't implement what you hear, if you don't treat your business like it's a job, then, you know, it's just going to sort of plod along and you're never going to really kick any major goals. I mean, you might accidentally do pretty well, but, you know, I've interviewed names that spring to mind, you know, like Brian Chapman or Katie Collenberg. You know, these guys or guy and girl are working so hard in their business. I feel almost embarrassed about the way I run my business. I just sort of, if it's a nice day and I've got, you know, an invite from Linda to go for a walk and grab a coffee, I'm like, yeah, this can wait. I'll go and do that. Whereas I'm pretty sure that Brian and Katie, there's no way they'd even like think about doing that if they've got something scheduled in to get done at work.
Yeah, yeah. But the videos, where are they to be seen on Google? Are they on YouTube or something as well?
Yes, I did exactly what Gabrielle said. So I recorded them on my iPhone. I uploaded them to YouTube and then I had them transcribed and I have the transcription underneath in the YouTube area where you can put your notes, because that's going to help your SEO as well. And then I use that link, so I embed the YouTube video onto my blog and have the transcription there as well.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it comes up.
So this is a bit different to one of the other guests, I think a couple of weeks ago, that did video as a response in an email.
Yeah, that's Matt Druin. So, look, I haven't tried that yet. I've done voice responses to PhotoBizX emails. I've tried that, but I haven't done a video, and I haven't done video to my wedding client inquiries. But yeah, look, that's something that I would try. I'm so hesitant to say I will try that because I know that the listener's going to want to see how I went and see an example. But look, I think that's worth exploring and I can see myself doing that for sure.
Nice. All right. So I know you do weddings, but aside from weddings, you also got your own project, which is 100 people, 100 days or something. Is that it?
100 strangers? Yeah, not in 100 days. Would have failed miserably.
That'd be like 2 years. like realistically, when it's like...
It will be.
It will be. So when do you go out and do this?
I don't actually go out to actually do it. So if I'm out with Linda, if I'm out somewhere, like last week I photographed a couple for an engagement session and I came back, I was packing up the car, I met a guy and we just started chatting about fishing or the beach first because he had a fishing rod there, and it turns out he was just let out of jail a week before, and I ended up talking to him for an hour. So asked if I could take his photo and, yeah, created a blog post for the project.
How do you select or choose the people that you want to photograph, or do they approach you?
No. If I see someone that's interesting, I'll go and ask them if I can take their photo for a project that I'm working on, or I'll just strike up a conversation first and then ask if I can take a photo.
So what do you think is interesting?
Well, it might not be interesting to you. So if I see someone that looks interesting, I might approach them. Or if I just start chatting, usually if you speak to someone, they're going to have something interesting to say if you ask the right questions. So I don't think I've spoken to or put anyone in that project that I didn't think was interesting.
Yeah. Because I remember us having a conversation. And you were asking me, because I was doing a similar thing, and you were asking me about how I approach people. Do you think you're over that sort of nervousness now of approaching people?
No, not 100%. Yes, and when I was talking to you about it, because I was in awe of the way you could just go up and talk to people, total strangers. And yeah, and same as Brendan, you know, who came away with us to Melbourne to the workshop. He would just, we'd say, go and talk to that person there, and he'd go and do it. And I was like, wow. I just did not have the guts to do that. So I don't know if I have still, maybe in a challenge situation, I would. Like if I was with my mates, you guys, and you said go and talk to that person, I probably would. But for myself, I just weigh out the situation at the time and see how I feel. But so yeah, it's still a challenge, definitely.
And it's obviously something a little bit different to what you normally do. And so are you enjoying it a bit more, or is it a bit freer for you? Is it?
Man, I love it. I love it. I love the talking part and getting the story. Sometimes I walk away and I think I should have taken a better photo or a different photo. So I think I've let myself down there a little bit. But I get an amazing response from people who read the post on Instagram or Facebook, you know, whether it's friends, family, or total strangers. That part has blown me away, that people are actually reading and enjoying these things. So yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. And then so when you write about these people, obviously you can just write as much as you like, but do you think there's an element of how much you write to capture somebody who is also reading what you're writing? Does that make sense?
Are you asking me if I worry about what they're going to see that I wrote?
No, like let's say I was looking at the photo and there's a blurb about the person. You could write 2 pages about the person, right?
Sure.
But do you limit about how much you write?
I just put in whatever I think is interesting and what I think other people might find interesting. So look, if it interests me, fair idea, it's probably going to interest someone else.
Yeah, I guess the character as well.
Yeah, but I'm not thinking about the person that I'm writing about so much. It's more, people are amazing. If you ask them a question, they will share. And I found that on the podcast too with interviewing photographers, and the general public are the same. If you show some interest and ask questions, you'll hear a cool story.
Yeah. What was that noise then? Was that your wooden leg?
No one knows I've got that.
Oops.
I think it's the next door neighbor's dog.
Oh, is it? Chasing the birds.
Possibly.
Okay, yeah, that's all right. So a couple of questions. I was going to do like 10 quick questions, but I couldn't think of 10.
Do you want me to email you my list?
Yeah, maybe. Was I supposed to email you something?
No.
Oh, can we just say... I know we're recording this today and it doesn't go out until whenever, but it's Mel's birthday today.
I know. I just sent her a birthday message.
Me too. Happy birthday, Mel. You're tops. Do you remember your first photograph you ever took?
Are you going to tell or let the listener know which Mel and who you're talking about?
She'll know. Carry on. Do you remember your first ever photograph you took?
No, but it would have been fishing. No, probably wouldn't. It would have been for fishing, but I would have been practicing at home. So when I got into photography, I got my first camera the week that Linda and I were married, and I was madly into fishing at the time, and I wanted to write for fishing magazines. So I had to learn how to take photos to get my articles published. So I had to learn how to photograph well pretty quickly because I needed to shoot slide film or transparency, and there's not much leeway when you're shooting transparency. So, yeah, I read books and studied, and I bought a Nikon D601 or F601, sorry, F601, because it was filmed back then. And, yeah, learned to shoot then. So most of my photography back then was all fishing photography and a little bit of family stuff.
So did you get published?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, a lot of fishing magazines. Yeah, so Fishing World, Modern Fishing, New South Wales Fishing Monthly, Freshwater Fishing, yeah, all the big fishing mags.
So you'd write a story and then you'd have an accompanying photo to go with that.
Yeah, multiple photos. You normally had to send in, I think we used to send 12 to 15 photos, and that the editor choose the ones that they wanted. They were all on slides, in sleeves, yeah, with a typed up article, and also on a disc. I can't remember if it was a USB back then. It might have even been a floppy disk, the very first ones. I can't remember. But yeah, so yeah, photos and an article to accompany it. They wanted the whole package.
Yeah, right. Wow. And did you get paid for that?
Yeah, I did. It wasn't enough. Like, I mean, when I said it wasn't enough, it was fantastic. I loved it. It was enough to say that it would pay for my fishing gear. That's what I was telling Linda, but it didn't go anywhere near that.
So fish now.
Do I fish now?
Yeah, yeah.
Not much, but funnily enough, I went fishing yesterday afternoon. It was a nice afternoon. I had an hour or two. I thought, I'm going to go for a quick fish. It looked nice down there, and yeah, didn't go any good.
Yeah, because I've just started fishing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because Lewis, my son, wanted to go fishing, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's so easy, mate. I'll teach you how to fish, no worries. Well, give a man a bloody rod and he'll fish whatever the saying is. Yeah. We currently like seaweed. Yeah, I've just got into it. It's really cool.
It's good fun. It takes a lot of time and it's good to get good at.
Yeah. So you went from the fishing magazines. Did you photograph for anything else in terms of mags or?
No. So I have this weird personality where it's all or nothing. So when I got into fishing, I used to be an electrician back then, and I loved fishing so much I went and applied to all the different fishing tackle companies that I knew of, and I went and worked for one of them. I became a sales rep and got into fishing that way. And then when I discovered photography, then I went out with a mate who was a wedding photographer and went and carried bag for him for a few months and shot alongside him. And then I went out and booked my own wedding and then started my wedding photography business.
And when was that? How long ago was that?
18 years ago. A long time. That was my first wedding 18 years ago.
Yeah, right. And do you remember it?
Yeah, look, it was interesting because it was a friend of a friend, and she was a large-sized bride or a couple. And this was the first full wedding that I'd actually photographed, and I was shooting film. So I photographed this wedding, and I had a few photos in my portfolio from Mark's weddings, the guy that I was accompanying to his weddings. He said I could use some of them. But this other wedding with this large couple was the only full wedding I'd photographed. So I had to make that a portfolio album, and we went off to our very first bridal expo. And I booked large couples for the next 12 months because of that display album. It was incredible. It was funny. And the comment was, you are the only photographer here showing a larger couple in your display album. And that's why we're booking you. And I booked large couples for 12 months until I updated my portfolio and had more weddings under my belt.
Wow. And then from there, obviously, the business grew.
Yeah. So I was still working as, I guess, an electrician. It was for Optus, a telecommunications company. And as the business grew, so we had kids, and Linda was sort of, you know, working on the business during the day, and I was at work. And then I went part-time at that job. So I went to what's called job sharing. We'd share a van, me and another guy. So he went part-time, I went part-time. We'd do 1 week on, 1 week off. And then it came to a point a few years after that where he said, I'm leaving, Andrew. And then the company said, well, you've either got to come back full-time or you have to leave too. We can't keep one guy on job sharing. So that was the push that I needed, and I handed in my resignation, and that was it, full-time photographer. Scary days.
So what was Linda doing prior to that then? She was taking bookings and looking for business.
Yeah, back then, see, we were shooting film, so we'd get prints back. So she'd be editing, she'd be sticking these photos into albums. Yeah, it was crazy. So she was work between looking after the kids and doing the housework. She was putting albums together, taking bookings, organising shoots, yeah, doing whatever she can to help.
So did you used to quote in rolls of film?
Yes, yes. I used to be 6 rolls of film for a package, and I was allowed to go 1 roll over because we were printing 5x7, so it was $50 a roll for, you know, the film cost plus the printing and developing. That was it. So if I ever came, and sometimes I come back with 2 rolls over, and Linda go, you know, what are you doing? That's $50 out of our profits.
You're a crazy guy.
Well, I've got to tell you, one day I was doing it was a shoot before this bride got married. She wanted some lingerie shots. I was shooting film and we were downstairs. Our studio was downstairs. When I say studio, it was an office / studio. And she wanted the silk sheets and laying on the bed with, you know, lacy underwear. And her wedding was in a couple of weeks' time. So I said, yeah, no worries. So Linda's upstairs with the kids and I'm down here. I've put through a roll of film and we've got some great shots. So we finished and I said, okay, we're done. I've got plenty. And she says, Andrew, can I get some topless shots? I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, we'll do that. So I'll put another roll of film in. And so away I go. I shoot another roll of film and that goes pretty quick. And we finished. I said, okay, we're good to go. And then she says, Andrew, can I get some nude shots? Oh, man. Linda's going to kill me. Not because I'm photographing a woman in the nude. It's because I'm shooting three rolls of film.
Yeah, all right. So did you struggle with when she said the film in?
I walked upstairs when we finished and I put three rolls of film on the kitchen table. And Linda's like, three rolls? What are you doing? What happened down there?
Have you gone crazy now? That's hilarious.
Yes, that was a funny day.
$150 extra.
Well, yeah, $100. I counted for 50, but she got a lovely big wall print for above the bed in lingerie for her husband, not one of the nude shots. And it looked fantastic, but the husband was absolutely terrible on the wedding day because he found out that I was the photographer that photographed his bride and he was a total pig to me for the whole wedding day. It was terrible.
Wow.
Not good.
So that was the 90s. I used to love the 90s. Silk sheets and lingerie.
That's it. That's it.
I photographed a bikie wedding in the late 80s.
Yeah.
And it was one of the scariest things I've ever done. And that was all on film. And I had 10 rolls of film. And they didn't want me to print them. They just wanted me to hand them over.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's even more scary.
No. Can you imagine the duds? They'd all be shaking. I was shaking while I was taking the photos.
I've actually done it. Well, we photographed a couple of bikie weddings. And I didn't know these guys are bikies. And they turned up to the studio when we had the studio out on the street frontage. And the guys had come in. Two guys came in. They didn't come in on their bikes. They came in a car. And they weren't wearing their leathers, but Linda's looking after their paperwork and they're sitting down in the waiting room. So I thought, I'll go and have a chat. And I say, how you going, guys? Good. Don't give me anything else. Oh, you know, what do you guys do for work? Oh, a bit of this and that. Oh, like what? Trying to start a conversation. And we're into cars. Oh, what, you buy and sell them? Oh, listen, mate, just let us pay and get out of here. Don't ask any more questions.
Well, we dropped out.
Pardon?
We dropped out.
What dropped out?
I didn't hear what you said. The same. How do we pick that back up?
What kind of host are you? That's okay. I'm recording at my end.
Oh, whew. That's good. So it'll come through there.
Yeah. I'll have to add the canned laughter.
All right. Hang on a minute. So when you're photographing a wedding, do you arrange to go to the girls' house first or the guys?
Now, always the guys for me because the girls won't get ready earlier. So always the guys, then the girls, and then, yeah, I usually stay until after the bridal.
Yeah, right. If the guys are not ready, though, do you just, like, do a mock getting ready type thing or?
So I used to, and now I'm saying to the guys and the girl, the bride-to-be, look, it's totally up to you. If you guys want to hang out in your boardies and your T-shirt and having a beer, I'll document that. So if you want to get into your suits, you can do that. You can get, you know, out of them again if you want to, or stay in your suits and go and have a drink, you know, beforehand. So I'll do whatever you want me to do in regard to documenting that part of the day. I've had guys do both. So get suited up or just hang out in their boardies and do what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah, cool. And do you struggle with, you know, going to the guys first? Have you met, you've met these people?
Usually, yeah. Usually I have. And if I haven't, I try and organise an engagement shoot. So we sort of build up that rapport beforehand if I can. But it doesn't matter. If I haven't, I haven't. You know, it's no big deal.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I mean, because I always get nervous when I go out, which I guess is normal. Although I'm quite confident in approaching people and talking, I still get nervous. Do you get nervous or?
Yeah, I do. You know, I get more nervous if they've booked, say, my top package and I'm thinking, wow, these guys invested a lot of money. I've got to produce the goods today. And yeah, but you know, once you walk into the house and you're probably the same, so is probably most photographers. Once you walk in the house, you start working and you sort of forget that. You know, I treat the guy shoot as a single shoot, get what, you know, what I can, and then, you know, go to the girls and start again for another shoot.
And so if they get your top package, it's got an album, are you shooting to an album throughout the day.
Yeah, so all my packages have albums, or will have an album credit. So we've changed to album credits, and I implemented that after listening to Ian Wilkinson describe the way he does his packages. So we sort of adapted what he was doing to what we were doing. So, yeah, we have an album credit, and I'm always shooting for the album. All that. So I'm not going to be shooting, you know, some portrait orientation and some landscape. You know, if I'm shooting a scene, it's going to be the same, you know, in the same orientation. Or if I'm shooting, say, details, which I don't shoot a lot of, I'm going to keep them all in the same orientation, so it's going to work well in the album.
Yeah, he's an interesting character, Ian Wilkinson. I saw him at an AIPP event, and he was really good.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, super nice guy. He was the first big-name photographer to take a chance and say yes to coming on Photo Biz X, because I knew for the show to succeed and to be good that I needed to get some of the bigger-name photographers on here, you know, for, I guess, to be seen as a real proper podcast or proper interview or like a mini, like a workshop, I guess. So I approached him. I approached Jonas Peterson, who also said yes, which blew me away, and that made it. Ian especially, you know, he made life so much easier, because I had a few guys nowhere near as well known as them say no to initial interviews. Yeah.
So at this AIPP event, they had a break and we were looking at some album suppliers, and he was next to me, and the woman who was on the counter was talking to me about albums, and she said, "How many weddings do you do a year?" And Ian turned around and said to the woman, "Don't you know who this is?" And I looked at Ian, and she looked at me, and he said, "This is Dan O'Day." She goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry." I said, "No, I'm not Dan O'Day."
Did he make a genuine mistake, or was he joking?
Yeah, he walked off. He's laughing. And left me with this woman feeling embarrassed. He was hilarious.
How are you going with asking the questions? Are you enjoying this, or is this a struggle?
No, it's great. This is not even me, Paul. I've got a twin brother and he's taken over. We sound exactly the same. He's a little bit taller than me.
Very cool. All right, let's go with it, twin brother.
All right. That was a disco finger. So this is a really interesting question. Do you use your left or your right eye when you compose an image?
My right.
Do you?
Yeah.
You're right. I have to think which is my left.
I'm just closing one eye. Yeah, my right. I close my left.
See, that is really weird. I use my left eye.
Really?
So are you left-handed?
No, I'm left-footed.
Oh, God. Head-footed.
Left-footed, right-handed.
So you use your right eye.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
That's normal. If you use a rangefinder camera, your face would be behind the camera, because the viewfinder's on the left-hand side of the camera.
Yeah, well, even if you're using just a DSLR, I mean, it's still going to be behind the camera, isn't it?
Hang on, mate. DSLR, the viewfinder's in the middle.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Your face is still behind it, isn't it?
Yeah. No, but I'm saying if you shoot with a rangefinder.
Yeah, with your right eye.
So I'm saying most people would be shooting with their right eye. Otherwise, a rangefinder camera would have the viewfinder on the other side.
If you only had one left eye. No, I think it's interesting because I've asked a lot of people and it really varies. So going back to that question, do you sometimes open your left eye while your right eye is open?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, that's old school, I reckon.
I do that a fair bit. Yeah, usually at the ceremony, but not usually when things are moving fast. But yeah, at the ceremony a fair bit.
Yeah, right. Nice.
Does that mean I'm a pro photographer?
Yeah. Shit, yeah. Oh, oh. It's still the Christmas episode, remember? Someone wanted it to land on episode 200.
I know. It can't.
I don't know who it was. So, Carrie, whatever your name was, sorry, it's 199. So you've got two camera systems that you use?
Currently, yes.
One is a Nikon and the other one is a Fuji?
Yes.
Do you have a preference at the moment?
Well, that's a tough question because I love using the Fuji.
Before you answer that, sorry, we just like to go to our sponsors, Fuji.
Definitely not. Definitely not. That I love using the Fuji and I love the files that I'm getting out of the Fuji. And now that I've gone to the X-Pro2 and got rid of the X-T1, I can see myself going 100% to the Fuji. The focusing is so much better now. I still like the TTL flash on the Nikon for the reception and when things are happening fast. You know, if I can, I just have to stop and practice with the Fuji and get that dialed in, and then yeah, I can see myself being 100% Fuji.
So you've got an X-Pro2 now?
Yes.
And you prefer that one?
Oh, yeah. Miles ahead of the XT1.
Oh. So is it like it's a rangefinder? So it's
your rangefinder style in the way that it looks. So there's no vertical grip. The viewfinder's over on the left-hand side, which wouldn't help you that much. But it's nice because you can still talk and you can see what's going on. You know, your face isn't hidden behind the camera. And it's so small and light as well.
Using both at weddings?
Yeah, but not at the same time. So I'll shoot the bride's home, the groom's home, the ceremony and location shoot with a Fuji, and then when I get to the reception, I'll pick up the Nikon.
Ah, so most of the day is with the Fuji?
Yes.
Wow, okay, nice. All right, so then the lower light stuff or with the flash is reserved for the Nikons.
Yeah, and even the low light stuff is fine with the Fuji. It's just when I'm using flash as well.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm doing a lot of walking around at the reception, you know, and I'll photograph groups or couples or people chatting. And usually I'll get them to look at the camera for one of those shots. And with the Nikon, I can just point and shoot. It's that, you know, I compose my shot, bang, done.
Yeah.
And it works every time, whereas the Fuji just isn't like that. Well, I haven't worked out to make it work like that for me.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're not as quick as a, yeah. Nice. What else have we got here? Oh, the most famous question. Have you ever had an embarrassing moment at a wedding?
Yeah, I've fallen over. I've split my pants. So I think I've heard stories like that before from other guests. I've had a really bad stuff up once when I was shooting film, a really, really bad one. I was shooting with the film cameras, F90Xs back then, the Nikons. Because I was shooting fishing one day and then maybe a wedding the next, and because film was so expensive, I would set the film leader to not rewind back into the canister.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I might shoot, say, 12 shots at a fishing trip and I'd want to reuse that. So then I'd put that film back in, load it up in advance to frame 13 or 14 and go again. So at a wedding, I would take out a roll of film when it was finished and then I would physically roll that in to say that, no, that it's finished, put that one away, grab a new roll. But what happened was I took out this roll and I was distracted by someone or something, and then I'm standing there with a film canister with a leader hanging out and I inadvertently put that same roll back into the camera.
Oh, no.
So I re-exposed that full roll twice. So I lost not 36 but 72 frames. That was terrible. I almost gave up photography after that, and calling that bride was the toughest phone call I've ever had to make. That was really bad.
What did you do? What did you say?
I stuffed up. I just told the truth. And there was nothing I could say. I mean, I could have said, oh, the lab stuffed up, but that wasn't true. I just said, oh, I made a mistake. So, yeah, it was tough.
What did she say?
Not much. She just went quiet, to be honest. It was a long time ago now. It was, well, probably 15 years ago. She just went quiet. It was at a stage too, you know, when the business was really just sort of just taking off, and I thought, oh, this is going to be the end of us. You know, she's going to let everyone know, and nothing ever came of it, which was really nice of her. Well, internet probably wasn't as big then. Certainly Facebook wasn't around. So nothing really negative came back for me in the business, but it didn't hurt any less because of that. It's still terrible to even think about it now.
Yeah, it would be horrible.
So we better not end here because I don't want to finish with that story.
No, I'm not. Best question to end on. Are you ready for the best question to end on?
Oh, we're finishing. You got the last question for me. Hit me.
So what do you reckon? I mean,
well, this is your show, mate.
Well, it just feels weird going back over a question that someone else might have asked, you know, when we've done so well. Well, I don't know if we've done so well.
When you've done so well.
Wait till the editing starts.
You give yourself a pat on the back there, mate. You've done well.
Thanks, mate. So your editors are going to be like, what the fuck?
This isn't getting edited, mate. This is staying. This is raw and uncut.
This is live. Gentlemen. Okay. You can photograph anybody in the world that you want, right? Who would it be and how would you photograph them?
This is...
Come on!
I saw Alan Moyle post a question like this, and Linda and I were chatting about it this morning, and I'm thinking, I've got nothing here. I had to move on to another question.
Yeah,
who would I photograph? Wow. Look, you know, I don't know.
Come on. You've got to find somebody. Who inspires you?
So I photographed other photographers, and that scares the crap out of me. I always get nervous photographing other photographers. So I don't know if I'd want to photograph someone famous. Maybe Marilyn Monroe. I think she'd be fun to photograph.
Yeah, she's dead, mate.
Oh, didn't you say alive or dead?
Oh, did I? No, I just said anyone in the world. But they could be alive or dead. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, Marilyn Monroe would be really interesting.
Yeah.
She'd know how to pose, wouldn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, that'll do.
What about Annie Leibovitz?
Photographing her?
Yeah. How cool would that be?
Sorry, I forgot whose show it was now.
I got my Christmas tree today. That's a different question.
A real one or a plastic one?
Yeah, real one. We always get a real one.
Is it good? Isn't it like bad for the environment to take a real one?
Okay, and thank you for this is the end of the show. No, why is it? They grow them for it.
Okay, I'm just curious.
It's not like trees give us oxygen or anything.
Now, the American listeners will be appalled that I said it's bad for the environment.
Really?
Well, I think, aren't they really big on having real trees?
Americans?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's real trees in America.
I know there's real trees, but don't a lot of the Americans have real Christmas trees? Whereas in Australia, what do you reckon, it's 50-50, real and fake?
Yeah, I think so. I think less real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about the States? What do you think? What's your gut feeling here?
Oh, heaps more.
Real trees?
Real trees, yeah, for sure.
And the UK?
Oh, real trees. All the way.
You reckon?
Yeah. We would go into the forest in Wales.
Oh, you're a pump? Oh, no, you're a Welshman.
Easy target, easy. I'm Welsh. So we used to go in the snow and collect our tree. And, yeah, it was like had real snow on it when we brought it home. It was great.
That's nice. That's fun.
I thought my dad was an elf because he was like, what?
Was he 5'5" and a half?
No, he's 5'2" and a half.
I've got to hang around with him a bit more.
Yes, you feel like a giant. So what are you doing for Christmas, Andrew?
Well, we're at home. So one of our sons, our eldest son, Matthew, is overseas. So he'll be in Scotland. So this will be our first Christmas without one of our children here. Jordan will be home. So we'll have a get-together on Christmas Eve with my side of the family at a local pub down at Patonga. And the next day we'll see Linda's side of the family, but half of her family are in Scotland. So it's her mum and dad we'll see over here and spend the day with them.
Is your son going to see family in Scotland as well?
Yeah, so at the moment he just left Berlin. He's now in Poland and I think he's off to Prague next.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, he's spending 4 months over there between finishing his HSC's high school and starting uni.
Is that nervous as a parent, let your child go?
Yeah, I think more so for Linda. But, you know, Linda's on the phone to him via Messenger or Facebook daily, which probably drives him crazy. But he's been great. He started a blog. He's blogging his trip and he's really enjoying it.
Yeah, nice. Is that the one that does the videos?
No, that's Jordan. He's the younger one. He's the one that's an apprentice locksmith.
Ah, right. Excellent. Cool. So first of all, 199 shows this will be.
Mm.
Thank you for your ongoing podcasts. They're really awesome. I listen to them every single week, except for that one a couple of weeks ago, which I didn't listen to. And I've learned a lot from them. I'm sure everybody else has. Is there anything you want to say to the listener going out from this amazing episode? Just insanely brilliant.
Wow. You've put me on the spot, mate.
I know.
Yeah, look, I am thankful for every listener, you know, for supporting the show and giving the feedback that they do and tuning in every week. And, yeah, the listener feels like my friend, you know, and I know a lot of them by name, particularly the premium members. I mean, there's an amazing core group of photographers inside the Facebook group. And, yeah, like I said, I can name scores of them in there and they feel like true friends. I feel like if I was to travel the world or they were to come to Australia, I would be as welcome at their places as they would be at mine. So yeah, it's pretty special. When I had the idea for the show, it was to put together, I guess, a photography workshop or a seminar that you could download and listen to at any time. You didn't have to go anywhere to get it. You didn't have to pay a lot to hear the information. And it was never going to be or never meant to be a vehicle to sell products or to sell myself as the expert that you had to listen to and take instruction from. I've never come at it from that angle. And I'm so happy that I've taken the approach that I have and that it's grown into what it has. You know, I listen to a lot of other podcasts about entrepreneurship and creating an online business, and all the advice that I've heard or the people have tried to give me have told me I'm doing things wrong. You know, you should be taking on advertisers. You should be creating products and selling products. You know, you should be doing this. You should be doing that to make this a better online business. But you know what? What they say might be true. And yeah, maybe I could make a lot more money if I was taking that approach, but I don't regret making the choices that I made, not once.
Yeah, yeah. And it's good that I think because your true self comes through. It's a bit like your work, isn't it? I mean, there's lots of wedding and portrait photographers that say, do this, do this, do this. But if you don't stick to your own and what you feel is right, then you're just following the crowd, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you. And I hope you, Linda, and Jordan have an amazing Christmas and the rest of your family. and I'm going to leave you with this.
Can you believe I asked this guy to interview me? Unbelievable.
Oh, shit. The cat's stuck under it. Wow, get him!
Well, I better say a proper goodbye to the listener. And I want to say thanks to you, mate, for coming on and doing this. I know you've put absolutely no thought or preparation to this at all, but I do appreciate you doing this. To the listener, again, thank you so much for supporting the show, for supporting me. I hope you and your family have an amazing Christmas, a fantastic new year. I'm looking forward to a big, bright 2017 and looking forward to sharing lots of great interviews with you. As always, you can reach me on andrew@photobizx.com, or you can talk to me on Facebook or inside the members Facebook group if you're a premium member. And again, have an awesome Christmas, or hope you had an awesome Christmas. Have a fantastic new year. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.
You're terrible.
That is weird. That is so tricky.
What's tricky?
The interviewing thing. That is, I don't know how you do it, man. Hats off to you.
Oh, you did well, mate. You did well. Thanks for doing that.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
What do you got on for the afternoon? You done now, your day?
Well, I've got an album has just arrived, which I've got to post off. I'm posting off a USB to a couple. And the deadline for the album company is in 2 days' time, and I'm trying to get three albums sorted.
What album software are you using?
So Vision Art to print them, and they're all designed.
You design them?
Yeah, through Fendi.
Cool.
Yeah, it's dead easy.
And are you going away for Christmas?
Yeah, we are. We're going to Broker's Flat, which is about 3 hours south.
Right.
We're going to do some fishing.
Is that on the coast? Is it Broker's Flat? Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's a big river. Yeah, I can't remember exactly whereabouts it is. But Brokers.
You don't even know where you're going for your holidays. I love it.
Baker's Flat, sorry. Shut up. But get this, there's no phones, there's no electricity, there's LED lighting, 12-volt lighting.
Yeah, right. What are you staying in, a cabin or your caravan?
Yes, cabin.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so we just went away on the weekend with the camper trailer to Bendalong.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah, did a bit of fishing down there.
Did you catch anything apart from seaweed?
Seaweed. Seaweed. And I got caught in the rocks like three times or something. I basically just threw the pilchards at the birds.
Yeah, right.
At the end. Locally, I went out with a mate the other night because I wanted to learn about, you know, different traces and hooking up and stuff like that, because I haven't done it for years.
Does your wife know you want to go and hook up?
Yeah, that's right. Where are you going? Just to hook up, babe.
So he taught you a few things?
Yeah, it was good. But he caught a tailor, beautiful 30-centimeter tailor, and I didn't get anything. I got stung twice by blue bottles.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's so true. Like, if you know what you're doing, you will catch more fish.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm going to keep on going. I'm enjoying it.
Oh, good.
I like up the beach side of it, I think. You know, just standing on the beach, watching the sunset, et cetera, you know.
Yeah. It's a good thing to do with your kids too. I love it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Lewis is so into it, and he loves it that he's caught seaweed.
Yeah, right.
More seaweed, Dad. Good on you, mate. He's got this massive smile on his face.
You need to find a little jetty or something so you can go fishing there.
Yeah, there's a few around here. Yeah, exactly. But I've just bought a beach rod, which was a rod reel combo, and it was $50. The reel is shit. There's a reason it was $50. So the rod is really good. It's a 12-foot. It's really nice. It's well made. But
how would you know a good rod from a bad one?
I don't know. It bends in the right places, and it looks good.
You're hopeless.
Also, I've been speaking to a local guy who's got a shop down here, a fish and tackle shop, who has shown me this reel. It's 90 bucks. It's really nice. I don't know what the make of it is, but he said, don't bother spending hundreds on a reel.
Yeah.
He said, this will see you through.
Oh, that's good.
It's got eight gears.
Eight gears?
Eight bearings, yeah. Whatever.
What?
It's not a fucking bike, mate.
Yeah. If you're going to be fishing on the beach and getting it sandy and, you know, covered in salt, and you don't want to spend a fortune.
No. And he said, you know, this reel will outlast you. But yeah, I'm going to take Lewis down to there's a few wharfs around here that you can get quite a few catches, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm really enjoying it.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, mate, I'll let you go and finish your afternoon.
Thanks.
And thanks for doing this, and I'll talk to you soon.
Can you ask Linda if she's there, that if it was okay, like.
What, do you want to redo it?
No way.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll do it from Baker's Flat, which is near Maruya.
I know. Oh, that's where I asked Linda to marry me, down in Maruya.
No way.
Oh, Bateman's Bay it was, yeah, but we stayed in Maruya. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Did you? Yeah. Wow, there you go.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, mate, take it easy. I'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
See you, buddy.
Bye.